The delicate negotiations over Iran's nuclear program continue in Vienna, and U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry is among the skeptics, telling reporters that a final deal could go, quote, either way at this point, while other sources say it's inevitable or nearly finished. Among the details in any agreement would be the specific tools used to monitor Iran's nuclear facilities. A whole range of high-tech monitoring sensors are now available to set up what would amount to a remote control window on the most sensitive facilities in Iran. But will Iran permit these new technologically advanced monitors to be used under a new agreement? David Sanger is national security correspondent for our partner, The New York Times.
As part of the negotiations, which seem to be moving to something of a resolution here, it's hard to tell for sure. Part of the discussion with the Iranians has been that they would have to allow in the kind of technology that is already being used by the IAEA on a number of other countries. So it's used in South Korea, it's used in Japan, and so forth. And that's usually, as a diplomatic maneuver, the best way to appeal to the Iranians, because they want to show that they are not being selected for special treatment. And in this particular case, the International Atomic Energy Agency, which is a UN agency that does all the international nuclear inspections, has really been hampered from their ability to put their most modern technology into Iran, partly because countries have some influence on what kind of technology they let in. Some countries want the information that comes out of the country to flow through them before it gets to the IAEA, and that's a no-no in the inspector's world. They want to see the raw data. The idea here is to move to basically 24/7 real-time monitoring so that many of the monitors that are put up, these are cameras, these are seals that instead of being old wire seals are now fiber optic seals that have whose health you can check and pulse every few minutes or every few hours. The idea is to have all that information beamed right back to the IAEA headquarters, which is on an island on the Danube River right here in Vienna.
And are the Iranians suspicious of this technology?
They're suspicious of how it might be used. They've got two or three different concerns. They've been concerned that the cameras might be pointed in a way that could identify individual Iranian engineers and scientists, since some engineers and scientists have been assassinated on their way to work in past years and operations that people widely assumed were run by the Israelis. That's a concern to them. So they've had to go deal with that. They are concerned that the United States could intercept some of this data or could hack into the IAEA's data and get that information right away. That's not a completely unwarranted concern. In work I've done on various ones, my various books I've written, and you and I have discussed this in past interviews, there have been cases where the U.S. has gotten information that was headed to the inspectors before the inspectors got it back in Vienna. So there's a spying concern as well. But I think there's a recognition that if you're going to make any of this agreement work, the administration is going to have to demonstrate to the world, and the IAEA is going to be able to have to demonstrate to the world, that they've got much more real-time monitoring in Iran than they've had until now.
Real-time monitoring, and based on what you've just said, safeguards to prevent the concerns that, as you suggested, Iran has, and those aren't unreasonable.
That's right. Now, of course, what's the weakness in safeguards? The weakness in safeguards is you are largely monitoring facilities that a country has declared to you are their nuclear facilities. And we've, of course, had a long history in which Iran has had facilities that they didn't declare that were later discovered. The big Natanz nuclear enrichment plant, the one the United States and Israel targeted for a major cyber attack back in 2009 and 2010, that was originally an undeclared facility. The Fordo plant deep in a mountain outside the city of Qom, that was initially an undeclared facility. Now, the Iranians know that their chances of getting away with that would be much more limited. There's a lot more satellite coverage. They've gotten caught in the past. But still, you can only monitor a facility that you know about.
And would this replace the access that inspectors now have face-to-face in facilities, which is actually pretty extensive, or would it be an addition?
It would be in addition to, but as I've talked to the Americans and to the IAEA, the face-to-face monitoring is incredibly expensive and incredibly labor-intensive. And some of these technologies would reduce the need to have inspectors in there as often. You know, right now, that they would go into a camera and they would basically pull a card or a USB and then have to download that material and verify it and fly it back to the IAEA's headquarters here. Obviously, if you could do that in real-time monitoring and if the system had a health check, so we could say, gee, this system got turned off, you know, for 2 hours last night, then you know to send a human inspector. But if the system's running pretty well, then you can focus your human beings on something else.
Finally, technologically, is there any precedent for any application of this sort of real-time monitoring, secure real-time monitoring, anywhere in the world that basically bypasses governments? I mean, are there bridges that are being watched or scientific experiments that use this kind of technology that nobody can tamper with?
You know, nobody can tamper with is a strong word in this era of heavy-duty cyber tampering. But the IAEA tests these systems out pretty extensively, and some of them have been supplied by member countries, including the United States. Some of the technologies date back to things that came out of the American laboratories, nuclear laboratories, in the 1980s and 1990s. What that tells you is that the monitoring system may not be the most up-to-date things that the United States and others could design, because the IAEA insists on testing this and making sure that it's pretty secure and that it works before they use it in any country. But certainly there are a lot of countries that are using them. You raised a very interesting question at the end there, which is, what about scientific laboratories? And right now, if there's no nuclear material, the IAEA is not usually in a particular site. So you couldn't monitor, say, a university lab. And this is a significant issue because some of the work that the IAEA suspects Iran conducted happened in laboratories. So one of the things we're looking for is, what's the continuing inspection regime for labs? And since that's very easy work to move around, it's a hard thing to tackle.
David Sanger, national security correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of The New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.